a debt since it's a we have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, O Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Virgin Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at all times and the hour of our death. Amen. Good evening, everybody. Good evening, Rupa. First of all, I'm so glad to be with all of you. I don't know whether Rupa has introduced about me. Did you, Rupa? Hello, Rupa, are you listening?
Yes, I was on mute. Before going to the class, I'll say a few words and then we can start the class.
We are going to the class now.
Yeah, we are in the class, but I'll just introduce you within a few words and then we can start the study portion. So, a warm good evening to all. We are starting our New Testament classes in English this evening. As you all know, our study portion for this year is Acts of Apostles, chapters 15 to 28. Let me say a few words about Jacob Matthew Achan, for those who don't know Achan. Achan hails from Kottayam district in Kerala and had completed his studies from Old Seminary, Kottayam. Achan's 18 years of priesthood life started from Kottayam Central Diocese, and gradually he moved on to Delhi Diocese. Achan was blessed with an opportunity to work as professor in Holy Trinity Theological College in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, which is the Theological College of Ethiopian Orthodox Church. In 2008, Achan and family relocated to Orlando, Florida, where he was appointed as vicar of St. Paul's Orthodox Church. Jacob Achan was instrumental in building the church, new church, and which culminated in the consecration of the new church building in 2010. Achan has great leadership qualities and has held several key positions in our diocese, which includes Director of Family and Youth Conference of Southeast Region for 2 years, Director of Divya Bodhanam Program. Currently, Jacob Achan is the Director of Sunday School in our diocese. Achan is also in charge of Sunday School Curriculum Committee and is the Chairperson of the Curriculum Committee. Apart from his pastoral and administrative duties, Achan serves the community by working as manager in the Department of Spiritual Care in a major hospital in Orlando, Florida. Achan, along with Kochamma, Dr. Shiny Alex Jacob, and two daughters, Agatha and Abia, lives in Longwood, Florida. A good teacher and a great scholar of scripture, we are very happy to have Jacob Matthew Achan as our instructor for this year. May God bless and enable Achan to carry out all his activities successfully. On behalf of the SWA MMVS, I welcome and invite Jacob Matthew Achan to take our Bible class for this evening.
Thank you, Ruba. Appreciate your kind words. Before we go any further, I would like to know one thing more, namely, you all are familiar with what has happened up until chapter 14. That's what I understand, right?
Yeah, last year our study portion was chapters 1 to 14. So
1 to 14.
Yeah.
Okay. The 14th chapter is actually ending where, Paul and Barnabas, they were going to Lystra and Derbe in Galatia. And they are performing a big wonder, a miracle, a sign maybe, like a crippled man is being healed. So a man who was born crippled was made to stand and walk. And then the people, especially the high priest of the temple of Zeus, he comes to offer oxen and garlands for these two men, namely Paul and Barnabas. And there they are explaining it to the people of Derbe, namely, look at us, we are just human beings, just like you all are. So this is how that chapter is ending. They are explaining to them, telling them that they were mere human beings. The only difference between them and the people is that they are, I mean, the Paul and the Barnabas have faith in Jesus Christ, whereas the others do not. So they compel them to be faithful of Jesus Christ, and Jesus is being preached as God. Now, it is in this context that we are getting into the life of church in Antioch. Antioch is a place today situated in Turkey, eastern Turkey. And I have been to Antioch. If you go there, you can see the house where Christians were called, people were called Christians for the first time ever. So all those things are happening in Antioch, and that is the place where Paul and Barnabas are coming. Mind one thing. All the apostles traveled to places where they were Jewish Christians. And operating from the Jewish colony, they tried to convert people into Christianity who were not Christians. So, this is how we had to look at it. Jesus Christ and the faith in Jesus Christ are being highlighted, but their identity as Christians, as Jewish Christians, they maintain. And that is the point of contention in chapter 15. Certain men came from Judea and taught the brethren. That is how we start the 15th chapter. Certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren. Now, please pay attention to two words here. The third word in the 15th chapter, namely, certain men. And the last word before the comma, brethren. Try to understand the distinction between men and brethren. So who are men? Who are brethren? The ones who are following the path of Jesus Christ that have been taught and explained by Paul and Barnabas, they are called the brethren, whereas the ones who are talking against them are called men, in order to distinguish these two categories. And there we start the 15th chapter. Now, what did the men who came from Judea, what did they say? I think there is a designated person here to read the Bible. So can you read remaining portion of the verse, the first verse, please? Unless you are?
Unless you are circumcised according to the customs of Moses, you cannot be saved.
Look at that.
Yeah.
The men came from Judea. They said that unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. So the foundation and the criteria for salvation is the canon of Moses. Whereas Paul and Barnabas and the apostles, they were preaching that it is not the canon of Moses, rather the revised canon of Moses through Jesus Christ. That is what they need to follow. And what is the revised canon of Moses? Jesus Christ himself says in 5th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew that he didn't come to change the law of Moses. He didn't come to drop the law of Moses. Instead, he has come to build the law of Moses, to reinterpret the law of Moses, and that is what they have to follow. And these men who came from Judea, they said, no, you follow the canon of Moses. And for them, Moses was more important than Jesus Christ. And this was the line of thought, like, for instance, many occasions in which we encounter in the Gospels. For instance, the lady who speaks with Jesus in fourth chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, the Samaritan woman, she says also that Jacob is greater than Moses. So there were different point of view, but all the Jews, they followed the law of Moses. And multiple occasions in the New Testament, especially in the Gospels, we hear people even confronting Jesus Christ, saying that we have Moses. Are you bigger than Moses? So this is the context in which people who were following the customs of Judaism, they came and they said that you have to follow the canon of Moses. Please go on to the second verse.
Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question.
Thank you. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension, look at, you know, if you do underline the Bible, then please underline that word, no small dissension and dispute with them. See, try to understand. Paul is somebody who has strong convictions. And he was very clear and very, committed to the faith that he received from none other than Jesus Christ. We read that in the 9th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. He himself is clearly saying that you should not be following the law of Moses, which speaks about circumcision. So, in order to solve the problem, they had an idea. And the idea was like sending Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them to Jerusalem, where the apostles and elders are present, and then discuss this question of dispute. Now, this is something important. Whenever there is a dispute in the church, there is a place where you can go. And that place is called the council. And this council, or we call it synod, Holy Episcopal Synod. So, this is the council to which they were being sent to. And that is the beginning of the concept of Holy Episcopal Synod. So this is called the Council of Jerusalem. Now, to verse 3, please.
So being on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy to all the brethren.
Thank you. Being sent on their way by the church. So who is sending Paul and Barnabas? The entire church, we can call it the general body meeting. The entire church is comprising in the general body meeting of the church, and they are sending Paul and Barnabas. It is, you know, this is something that we have to really understand. The church is not a place where one person's opinion is to be imposed upon anyone. Church is a place where we all together come and worship and enjoy the community. And any decision has to be taken by everyone together. Sometimes the decision will not be appealing to us. That's okay. Still, we follow the decision. Now, the decision of the general body of the church in Antioch is to send Paul and Barnabas to Jerusalem. And they are going. While going, they were preaching. They were attending churches. On their way, they were attending churches in Phoenicia and Samaria. So try to understand. Those people who lived in Phoenicia and Samaria, they have also got converted to Christianity. And listening to the Acts of Paul and Barnabas, they had great joy. Thank you. And let's go to verse 4.
And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders. And they reported all things that God had done with them.
Same thing is happening in Jerusalem too. They were received by the church. Look at that. They were received by the church. Now, Paul and Barnabas were the people who spoke against the tradition which the church in Jerusalem was following. Yet, they received Paul and Barnabas. It's a big, big, important lesson there. Namely, we can have differences of opinion, yet how do we behave ourselves in the church? In the church, we behave in the way that Jesus Christ has taught us. Namely, the one who is receiving the little one in my name is greater than John in the kingdom of God. So Paul and Barnabas have been received in the way, although they had differences of opinion. Thank you, God. Let's go to chapter verse 5.
But some of the sects of the Pharisees who believed rose up, saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses.
So this is something that we had already explained. Some of the Pharisees. I don't know. Are you familiar with the term Pharisee? Rupa, is the term explained ever?
Yeah, Pharisee, I think it means set apart, right? I think it was explained in one of the classes.
Okay, if it is, then I don't need to go there. So Pharisees were one sect among the Jews, and they were more into the spiritual meaning of the scripture, and they had attributed multiple other aspects of human life and life beyond this world. Sometimes I also have a feeling like Jesus followed the customs of the Pharisees, like, you know, praying for the departed and all that line. Anyway, some of the Pharisees, they stood up and they said, you have to follow the custom and the canon of Moses. Let's go to verse 6, please.
Now the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter.
Yeah, 7:2.
And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago, God chose those among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe.
Thank you. Now, the apostles and the elders came together to consider this matter. This coming together of three group of people, namely the apostles and the elders. And along with them, they were also learned people. So, apostles and elders. I would really want to highlight one important thing here. The distinction between laity and clergy, which we are very familiar with, that is not exactly Orthodox concept. The Orthodox concept is those who live in the world and those who live in the monasteries. Now the apostles and the elders, they live in the world and they are also to be considered as laity in that concept. So they all come together and they start discussing this matter. And Peter stands up and says, because he is the first among the colleges of the 12, believe me, there is a distinction between the 12 and the apostles. Apostle is anybody whom Lord Jesus Christ has sent, but the 12 are the distinguished group of people who always followed Jesus Christ. So Peter being the eldest, among the apostles, among the 12, not just the apostles, among the 12, he stands up and speaks. And that is what we just heard. Now go to 8, verse 8, please.
So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith.
Thank you. Very important verses. Verses 8 and 9. Look at that. Who is giving the grace, namely Holy Spirit? The word grace actually means pouring of Holy Spirit. Who is giving the grace to be Christians? It is God the Holy Spirit. And when the God Holy Spirit comes, there is no distinction between circumcised and uncircumcised. The important thing is that Holy Spirit has to come. Now Peter is convinced that Holy Spirit has come to the Gentile Christians, and therefore they need to be reckoned with, they need to be respected just as any other Jewish Christian has to be respected. Let's go to 10.
Now therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?
Thank you. That the word yoke is extremely important in this context. You know, Jesus Christ says in St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 46 to 50, that my yoke is light and my burden is bearable. However, Peter is now saying it is, you know, this yoke, the basic concept of yoke, that is something that Peter is saying is unbearable to them. I mean, to the Jewish Christians. This is exactly being referred to from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 4. The creed of Judaism, that is later being termed as yoke. And this yoke is unbearable to us. Then why do we impose that yoke upon those who do not need to be bearing this yoke? But we believe that through the grace of Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. Verse 11 says, I said the word grace is equivalent to Holy Spirit earlier. So please keep that in mind. The grace of the Holy Spirit, the grace of Lord Jesus Christ, that is Holy Spirit. Thank you. Let's go to verse 12.
Then all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul, declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles.
That is self-explanatory. 13.
And after they had become silent, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, listen to me.
Here is a big twist coming in. After they heard, they had become silent, James answered. Who is this James? This James is the one whom we meet in chapter 12, verse 17 of the Acts of the Apostles. St. Luke has mentioned about him there. And this James is not one among the 12. This James is brother of Jesus Christ. And St. Matthew chapter 12, verse 46 through 50, people are mentioning about the brethren of Jesus Christ. Does that mean that Mary had given birth to some other people? No, actually not. This means the cousins may be the children of Joseph, Jesus' earthly father. I do not mean physical father, the one who has been the caretaker of Jesus Christ. And when you read the biography of Saint Mary, you can read a lot about this James. And this James is now the bishop of Jerusalem. Now Peter has argued, and the final word is coming from James, the brother of Jesus Christ, who is the bishop of the first bishop of Jerusalem. Thank you. Let's go to the next verse.
Simon has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name.
Please carry on until verse 17.
And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written. After this, I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins and I will set it up, so that the rest of mankind may see the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things.
The 17th verse is really important. So that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name. That my name stands for Jesus Christ. Says the Lord, who spoke to Amos the prophet. And we read this exact same verse in Amos chapter 9, verse 11 following. And this is exactly what is happening. James, the brother of Jesus Christ, is explaining. One more thing. The word brother doesn't mean, or in the Jewish understanding, bloodline brothers. Can always be the cousins. It can always be a very good friend. So in multiple sense, the word brother has multiple meanings. And please do not get confused by some people saying that Mary had given birth to other children by reading chapter 12 of St. Matthew's Gospel, verses 46 through 50. The word brother means multiple faceted angles. Okay, let's go to the next verse, please.
Known to God from eternity are all his works.
Carry on, please.
Therefore, I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but that we write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from blood.
Thank you. You can read 21 too, please.
Okay. For Moses has had throughout many generations those who preach him in every city, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath.
Thank you. Now this is the preaching and the final word of St. James, the brother of Jesus Christ. Look at that. Known to God from eternity are all his works. So whatever God has done from the eternity is known to himself, and his works are also known thereby. And therefore, James is highlighting that accepting the Gentile Christians without circumcision is already known to God. And then you read the next three words. Therefore, I judge. Look at that word. Therefore, I judge. If anybody has a Malayalam text, it is, let me just check, what is the Malayalam word? What is written there? Let me see. 15:19. Yeah, in Malayalam it's written, Yan Abhiprayapadunu. Actually, the true translation is not Abhiprayapadunu, rather I judge. The reason why he is saying I judge is because he is the bishop. And where does the bishop get his word? He is getting the word when he is listening to the entire council. He listens to everybody, and at the end of which, God, the Holy Spirit, is providing him a word, and that word is the best one and in unison with the entire council, and he says, I judge. Now we can refer this word, I judge, to the book in the Old Testament, the Judges. What do? They also did the same thing. From God, they receive a word, and that word is being proclaimed, I judge. So it's a very important position that James has and should not trouble those men. So that is what we call the decree or the decision of the synod. And the decision of the synod, it has three parts. Number one, discussion. Number two, the decision. And number three, implementation. And James is starting the implementation process through the decision, through the proclamation of the decision, namely, do not bother them, but tell them, make them, commission them, saying that do not eat anything polluted by idols, sexual immorality, and from things strangled and from blood. This word, from blood, that means, what does that mean? It means twofold. On one hand, it means do not eat blood, which is a Jewish commandment. The reason why they say do not eat blood is because blood is seen as the carrier of life. And that is why, Deuteronomy chapter 33, we read that Moses is offering a sacrifice of animal and saying that Reuben will be saved thereby. Chapter 49 of the book of Genesis, we read, in the first verse of Genesis, we read Jacob, the patriarch, cursing Reuben because of his sexual immorality. In chapter 33 of the book of Genesis, we read that Reuben has transgressed the boundaries of sexual immorality. Reuben went and slept with his father's concubine, Bilhah. You know, some of the fathers interpret this word, blood, in that line. And some others say that this word, blood, means, blood is a carrier of life, and therefore do not eat anything that is, that has blood in it. So these two explanations are there. Whatever it is, both are meaningful here. For Moses had, throughout many generations, those who preach him in every city being read in the synagogues every Sabbath. What is that? That is exactly these three things. Namely, abstain from things polluted by idols, which is again commandment, from the Ten Commandments. Sexual immorality from the Ten Commandments. Things strangled from among the Ten Commandments. Okay, carry on. Let's go to verse 22.
Then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren.
Thank you. These two people, namely Judas, who is also called Barsabbas, and Silas, these two are the leading men in the church of Jerusalem. They were being sent along with Paul and Barnabas as witness and as legate from the bishop of the church in Jerusalem, and they are going, and they are not just going, they are being given a letter. They are being given a letter from James, the bishop of Jerusalem, and it read, like, the apostles, the elders, and the brethren, to the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, greetings. Look at that. The word Gentiles, today we interpret the word Gentiles with a lower standard. But those days, Gentiles means those who were not Jews. That's all. But they were accepted. They were accepted just like they were Jewish Christians. You know, we have a burden or we have a baggage that comes from our traditions in India sometimes. Somebody who is converted to Christianity, we still call them with their own original, caste or tradition from they got converted. Here, that is not exactly how the early church was. I remember in one particular church in India, in Kerala, somebody converted to Christianity some 30 years back. He was converted from the Nair caste. People still call him Nair. That is a bad thing. That is not how Christianity originally was. So, that is also something that I wanted to add here. Let's do not discriminate like we do, at least some people do in Kerala. Let's do not do that. Let's receive everyone. And now let's go to 24th verse, please.
Greetings. Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your souls, saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment.
Thank you. You know that so-called, we can call it the Kalpana. This Kalpana is clearly mentioning the situation. And at the end, after that hyphen, we read, to whom we gave no such commandment. So, they are very clearly saying that these men who went there, try to distinguish them from the first verse itself, men and brethren. These men who went there had no commission to say whatsoever they have been preaching, propagating in Antioch. So they have been decommissioned thereby. Whatever they say are unacceptable. Let's go to verse 25, 26, 27, 28, and 29.
It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by word of mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well.
Thank you. I asked to read that entire portion because that is how the Kalpana is written. And, you know, it seemed good to us being assembled with one accord. That's very important. You know, there were people who argued that circumcision has to be implemented, and there were people who argued circumcision shall not be implemented. At the end, they came to the conclusion that circumcision shall not be implemented, and that becomes the decision, and that decision is made with one accord. That is something that we have to really underline. When we take part in a meeting, we can say, I disagree. Totally, it's okay. I disagree. Yet, when the decision is being made, you have to be on one accord to follow that decision. So that's very important. In one accord. To send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Now, please be mindful of the order in which that those two names are written. Barnabas and Paul. It's not Paul and Barnabas. Usually, Paul and Barnabas must have been the order, because Paul is more prominent than Barnabas. Yet Barnabas is written first, because that is also a little consensus to pacify the people who were the circumcision, who were favoring circumcision, because Barnabas was lighter towards following circumcision, whereas Paul was strongly opposing circumcision. There is a reason why I'm saying this. I will explain it when we go further. Men who have risked their lives, so they risked their lives for the sake of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas to the gates, who will also report the same thing by word of mouth beyond this Kalpana. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Again, very important verses. To the Holy Spirit and to us. So, in one accord doesn't mean one accord among the men who attended or the people who attended this Holy Council, but Holy Spirit too. And the decision is, do not put a bigger burden upon the Gentile Christians. The verse 29 we have already explained. Let's go to verse 30.
So when they were sent off, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter. when they had read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. Now Judas and Silas themselves, being prophets also, exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. And after they had stayed there for a time, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles.
Thank you. It is almost self-explanatory. There is nothing too much to explain there, I hope. They stayed back in Antioch. Look at that. It's also important. These legates delivered the letter and they were commissioned to deliver the decision of the Council of Jerusalem by way of words and by mouth too. That is the reason why they stayed back for a longer period of time. And at the end, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles. So they were being sent back to Jerusalem, where the apostles were. Verse 34.
However, it seemed good to Silas to remain there.
Yes, 35 too, please.
Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also.
Thank you. You know, Judas or Barsabbas went back to Jerusalem, whereas Silas stayed in Antioch. There is a reason why it is being said. When we read verse 36 through 41, we will understand that. Please carry on.
Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing."
Yeah, finish up to 41, please.
Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John, called Mark, but Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches.
Thank you. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." See, when you do something, you have to really follow what you have done. Otherwise, it is futile. That is the modern management principle. All is following this principle, or the modern management principle is not very modern. It is old. And Barnabas was determined to take with them John, called Mark. He was Barnabas' father's sister's son, John, called Mark. Now this man, you know, he had actually left Paul and Barnabas. We read that in 13:13 of the Acts of the Holy Apostles. You must have already learned that. He left from, Paul and Barnabas. And he didn't follow the path of Paul and Barnabas, and that is what we read in 13:13. And somebody who laid his hand to the yoke and looks back, he is not worthy to follow the mission. And in that context, Paul said, "Let's do not take John, Mark," although he left Paul and Barnabas. He has come back and he was living in the community along with Paul and Barnabas. But Barnabas was forgiving and he was wanting to take John Mark with him. But Paul said, "Do not take him with him. He has not yet proven his worth." And there, Barnabas and Paul separated. They both parted and Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, to the island Cyprus, near Greece, and Paul chose Silas and departed. Now look, this is why I said the reason why it is mentioned there that Silas has stayed back in Jerusalem in verse 34, that is, this is the reason why St. Luke has added that particular sentence. And they Paul chose Silas and departed, being commanded by brethren to the grace of God. What does it mean, grace of God here? Can anybody answer this question? What does it mean, grace of God? I know you have the answer with, grace of God means Holy Spirit. And he went through Syria, Cilicia, and strengthening the churches. Cilicia is otherwise called Kilikia. This is in Asia Minor, which is Turkey, and Syria, and so Paul traveled to Eastern Turkey and Syria, where Antioch is also bordering to Syria, and it's in Eastern Turkey, whereas Barnabas and Mark, they traveled to Greece and areas around Greece. So with that, chapter 15 ends, and thank you for listening. Do we have any questions, please?
I think since people are on mute, they may not be able to ask anything, but we can always check with Achin. You can always send the questions or any feedback to me, or I can provide you Achin's email address so that you can directly contact Achin. Thank you, Achin. It was a very beautiful and detailed, informative class, and it was full of energy. And I believe the lessons we learned, the concepts you explained, it will definitely help us to understand Word of God more deeply. Thank you, Achin, for your time and patience. And thanks to everyone who joined the class this evening. Appreciate your support. Today, Samson Acts 15 chapter was read by Shanta Varghese. Shanta Chichi is from St. Thomas Church, Detroit, and is currently the MMVS unit secretary in her church. She is very active in all our MMVS activities and is also a joint convener for our annual conference. And she has also served as Detroit regional secretary in the past years. Thanks to Shanta Varghese for volunteering to read Bible. Appreciate the help. Announcements. We have only one announcement. Tomorrow at 8 p.m. Central Time, we will be having our faith study Bible class as usual. Please plan to attend it. That's all from my side. Achin, do you have anything to say?
Yes, I do. Thank you very much for asking me to work with you in the next 13 episodes of this series. I'll be working with you all. 14 episodes, let me say so. And thank you, Ms. Shanta Varghese, for reading the Bible. You read it very, very meaningfully. You understood the meaning of each verse. And thanks a lot for that highly involved way of reading the Holy Bible. And thank you, Rupa and PC George Achin, for this opportunity too. God bless you. And let's see each other next Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Central Time, and 6 p.m. Pacific Time. That's it from me. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Achin. Thank you for the feedback. Let's wind up our class, Achin, with the concluding prayer. Please, Achin. Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy Heavenly Father, at this time we come together and we try to read, understand, and learn the words that you have given us through your Holy Spirit-inspired writers, especially St. Luke here. Inscribe everything that we understood here in these verses into the tablets of our hearts. May your words be a light to our paths and a torch to our ways. You bless us, keep us safe. Thank you, God, for all the first responders, the nurses, the doctors, the pharmacists, the respiratory therapists, and all allied health workers among the Marthamare Vanita Samaj members and others all over the world who are risking their own lives but taking care of the COVID patients. You bless them, keep them safe, and keep them from all kinds of contraction of this disease. We pray for all those who are under the yoke of this disease, who have contracted and are fighting this disease. Be with them and heal them. Thank you, God, for all those who have already received the healing from you. We ask you to protect our children. We ask you to protect our elders. We ask you to protect everyone of us. We pray for our priests and deacons and our bishops, especially Mara Prem and His Holiness Morama Basilius Martoma Paulus II, Pavadrimini. We pray at this time for Joy Achan in Hollywood, Miami. We pray for Daniel George in Chicago. We pray for PC George Achan, especially when Achan is going through the grief and the loss of his father. Pray for the grandmother of George Manapuram Achan. Holy God, we bless those below departed ones. We ask this all, the name, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, one true God, forever and ever. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts and sins as we have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May the love of God the Father, grace of the only begotten Son, communion indwelling of the Holy Spirit be upon us all from now on, forever and ever, on all our ways and on our doings. Amen.
Thank you, Acha. Thank you, everyone. Good night.